Well, I couldn't agree with you more. But she, you know, she obviously she. I'm guessing that she makes the best of it.
I'm sure she makes 10 times as much as I make.
Here at the Jimmy Doan Show.
That's right.
JimmyDoan.com. Yeah.
All right. Hey. Here we are again. The Jimmy Doan Show.
We're back.
Hey. Hope I'm not popping this mic too much. Yeah.
I got that mojo.
Mojo working. All right. Happy Sunday. What is the second day of October?
Yep.
And
October 2.
That's right. Beginning of the Christmas season.
Apparently.
Yeah, I've seen the ads. The ads are showing up for Christmas presents.
Go get your tree today.
That's it. Get your tree early. Unbelievable. I mean, nobody...
Forget about Halloween.
No. I mean, on the same page with the Halloween costumes, they've got...
Or Thanksgiving,
right. Sorry, forgot about that. Forget Veterans Day. No. Bye-bye.
Skip straight to the club.
That's right. The last... everybody make their money in the last thing there.
Spend your money.
So we have here today Jack Rhodes.
I'm here.
Yes, he is. And Engineer Eric.
As always.
That's right. And Jimmy Doan here on the main mic.
Glad you can make it, Jimmy.
Glad I could make it. That's right. Jimmy sometimes
He's only missed one show.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. That's the I Was Away in Long Island show. My God. Okay. Also, want to say this will be kind of interesting today. Want to say hello to some new friends. We did a little web checking to find out who's listening to us.
Some new listeners out there.
Yeah, you won't believe who's listening. When you wouldn't believe
who
the number whole? Three on the list are our friends from Sweden.
Sweden.
You won't believe this. Jimmy speaks Swedish.
Get out.
No. It's true. Jimmy speaks.
What, like hurry?
Right. No.
We love Sweden.
No, we love Sweden. We want all our friends in. Let's see. How should I say this? Since I can, ja tala lite svenska mina vänner.
Hey.
Well, that's
you just learned that this morning.
No. Jag var i Sverige det för 40 år sedan. You know, that's, I'm good
right,
at this.
No.
So anyway, our Swedish friends need to write us a good review. Jimmy also speaks some other languages as well.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I speak German. Das ist nicht sehr gut, mein Herr.
Frohlich German.
That's our Frohlich German. That's good. No,
I'm glad to know the world is listening.
No, that's right. No, they're number three on our list as far as the percentage-wise as people that listen to our show.
Hey, keep those emails coming.
Well, listen, I did find out one thing. Let me mention this, that you do need gentle listener out there to tell your friends. It turns out that we get most of our listeners from word of mouth, not from the reviews, not from being number one on Google,
right?
Which we are, of course. If you look up
podcast.net,
or it's podcast.net and
podcast.net, Podcast Alley, Podcasting News, Podcast Pickle, iPodderX, Podcast Feeder,
all the above,
all the above.
But anyway, when you look on a lot of those, we find that we're number 100 or 200 or something like that. But on a couple of them on Google, we're number one.
Right.
If you look up Libertarian Podcast, my point is that apparently our listeners are coming word of mouth, not so much through the search engine, not through the pod search engine.
Well, it's certainly not from all the press that we
get. Yeah, that's true. I've passed out a few cards. Jimmy,
but did we get a call from the New York Times? No.
That wasn't the New York. No. It was. Well, actually,
it was the New York Review
Strip 900 number, something. Would you 18 yeah, right. Something? Yeah. No,
it was an escort service.
That's right. Well, I did get a call from one newspaper, but and of course I get regular calls from the telephone companies want me to switch my service, but I don't think that has. I'm not sure that has anything.
They're
to do
not
with
listeners, you mean?
Hard to believe.
They might be fans. Well, it's good to have those international fans.
International.
We love you guys out there.
Well, we got about 10 countries.
Right, we do. We got Australia. We've got Norway. We've got Damien in Australia. We've got Jeff in Norway.
Yeah, well, those people we know, but the Svenska personer, I don't
nope.
know. Don't, those are new to us. So anyway, that's good. Anyway, if they send us an email in Swedish, if you wish.
I actually
can read Swedish.
We've got some UK people. We got a Saudi Arabia person.
Yeah.
That's some other stuff.
I'm surprised that Tall Michelle hasn't checked in from Tanzania.
I don't know, but I did notice we were on a staff sergeant's personal website, is stuff he listens to.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, then we're doing well.
Yeah.
More or less. So anyway, today it's the second, and let me put it this way: the show's going to end before I get to all the stuff we need to talk about.
Well, you briefly mentioned before, and if you've opened your Sunday paper, the Christmas ads are out.
Christmas ads are out. Unbelievable, and it's just they are skipping over, literally skipping over. what used to be called Armistice Day. I think it's November 11th, which is now, I think, in that Veterans Day.
Right, right.
In Columbus Day in here somewhere, place, I
and,
think. Something.
And that was the official shopping day or something?
No, the day after Thanksgiving, actually.
Right, so, well, that's always the biggest shopping day.
Right, 26th, I think, of
when
November.
When they officially kicked off there.
Okay, we are 2 months ahead of there at this point, and they're bringing out the Christmas ads.
No time like the present.
No time like the present. Go get your Christmas lights and your candy canes today. No, I mean, it's unbelievable, I guess. Somebody said, would they get something like a third of the profits or something made in the last... and, of course, Toys R Us is going out of business, so then Walmart's going to take them over.
Right.
Speaking of Walmart, of course, they've been ash canned a little bit here around the country. Now, we'll get to that in a minute. I wanted to talk a little bit today...
Oil.
Yeah, oil is one of the big things. The oil, what they call the Rita effect. We have a column by one of our major, in today's paper here in the Gainesville Sun, the editorial page editor, a guy named Ron Cunningham.
This is here in Florida.
This is here in Florida, right. It is amazing to me, as I go through several of the articles in here, gloomy forecast for U.S. economy, the Rita effect, where are we going to get our oil, what was the other thing in
here? Well, they say all of the oil rigs were blown down.
Blown away, that's right. And what's interesting is...
I don't know how much that really happened.
Well... It turns out that something like 25% of the oil refining capacity was offline for about 20 minutes while they fixed it all. I mean, everything's coming back. Of course, Bourbon Street is open, half open now. They didn't make
it. Well, thank goodness.
Yeah, thank goodness. Well, Curtis, who is not here today. The little creep.
he said we could call him if we wanted.
Yeah, right. Like I'm going to make a long-distance phone call to St. Croix.
No, you can just call. I got a local number.
Oh,
you
that's
can
right.
Call.
We can use a, okay. That, well, yeah. Like I'm. Okay. Maybe. Maybe we'll. We do have the ability to make phone calls here, and one of these days we'll have to actually try it out.
see
if it works. That's right. Well, I did try and get some people for interviews, and we will get some high powered people for interviews here in the next couple of weeks. At any rate, this guy, it is amazing, it is stunning to me to see not only the contradictions in this particular column, and a lot of this has national import. This is the conventional thinking across the country in many respects with regard to oil conservation. How are you going to do it? What's going to happen and so forth?
Are we going to run out?
Right. And it's interesting, the sensational, the abysmal lack of economic knowledge that people have. People think they know economics. And they talk about things like demand, when demand actually is the ability to pay for something. People talk about demand as if it's kind of a need. In other words, low-income people demand wealthy houses. Yeah, well, they're not.
In economics, there's a high demand.
There's a high demand, right. The demand is only if you have the money to pay for it. So you may want something like that, but they confuse want with demand a lot.
It's amazing how they do that.
No, they say that the demand outstrips the supply. It can't. They have to be in balance every day. I mean, that's by definition. The definition, you know, dictionary definition of demand means that they do balance. So,
well, so where's this guy coming from?
Well, this guy thinks that the government should be involved in this very heavily. He declares as his heroes are FDR, who imposed rationing during the Second World War, as if that's the same thing. I mean, the Second World War was a slightly different than a hurricane.
Right.
It lasted, I don't know, a couple days longer.
There was a little more involved.
They were a little more involved. And anybody that actually does a study will find out the rationing really didn't work. I looked at some cartoons. I grew up just after the Second World War. My dad collected cartoons from the Second World War, and so many of the cartoons were about the rationing and the black market. It was as bad as Prohibition. I mean, you know, you could get anything you wanted, even though
if
you want to pay for it. That's right. And so that was where
Well, in that time, too, and as it is now, it's not just for cars we're talking about. They're talking tires and, you know, at the time, World War.
Right.
All the planes, all of the other byproducts of petroleum.
Well, not only that, but back then, of course, when you're flying literally 10,000 bombers, you know, that are gas hog bombers over Europe.
Gallon in a minute.
Oh, my God. I was going to say, you would hope it's only a gallon a minute.
They just take off and they're just, if you just had a hole in your wings, that's about what they
dumping fuel
right.
into the carburetor.
Oh my God! Well, so my point is that was entirely, it seems to me, that was totally different. Number one, number two, he talks about Richard Nixon. Now I remember the two oil embargoes or crunches. One was in the early 70s, about 73, and the second one, the big one, was during Nixon. The second one was during Jimmy Carter, 79, when they. At that point, they imposed price controls in 79, Carter. Right. And Nixon, of course, mandated roughly somewhere in that day with the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit. And, of course, if that was to save oil, why didn't they have a 45 or, you know, 15-mile-an-hour right. speed limit? Or, and what they forget is all the time that was lost. Time, you know, I hate to say this, and it may be pithy, but time is money. And the fact is, if you're paying some executive, you know, $100 an hour to do whatever, and he's sitting in a car listening to your friend XM Radio, he is not being productive. I mean, he's not in the office. And so he takes an extra hour to get to work, and that's, you know, you multiply that by a million, 2 million, 10 million, whatever it is, and you're talking about billions of dollars of lost productivity because of the speed limit.
All right.
And I'll tell you, there were studies done. Now, admittedly, some of the studies were, as we say, self-serving. I think David E. Davis, you know, he's the founder of Hot Rod Magazine or something like that. And
right.
They, anyway, he's
those things aren't exactly
let's get the American Autobahn up.
That's right. So anyway, the people that drove hot rods found a study, surprisingly enough, that showed
that the faster you drive.
No, it was totally unbiased.
Uh-huh.
That showed that the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit, you know, cost more than it saved, and I believe them.
Right.
Jimmy believes that. Jimmy Leadfoot.
Jimmy Leadfoot. Dome.
That's right. Jimmy Dome. Jimmy Leadfoot. Dome. So he loves that.
And of course, a lot of those guys use nitromethane anyway instead of.
Well, then they didn't.
No, that's true.
Back then they used
Sunoco White or something.
Yeah. Well, it was also called 260. Sunoco 260 was mm-hmm. the nitromethane of the. If you had an 11-to-1 compression ratio, you had to reuse that stuff. Anyway. And then of course they came out with the fuel efficiency standards, which is the CAFE, you know, that's the CAFE, whatever they call it.
Right, right.
And that was designed to raise. Congress mandated that cars had to get the fleet cars had to get a certain mileage. It went up and up and up over the years to 27.5.
Hence the popularity and birth of Toyota and Honda.
Well, of course, let me tell you, I remember when people were trading in 1973, they had brand spanking new Cadillacs, and they were trading them even up for Toyotas. And we're talking about somebody that could afford the Cadillac, number one, certainly could have afforded the gas, and were trading. Mm. And it reminds me of my mother used to tell me during Prohibition of the lady that was next door to her, that literally the day Prohibition came in, took all of her, she had cases of whiskey and went outside and broke the bottles off, top off the bottles and poured it down the sewer.
Oh!
No, can you, no, I mean, these people are committed, you know, these people should be committed. No, these are the people that literally are, you know, they're so, I mean, they care so much about other people, they, you know, are... These are the sheep that obey the laws that even no matter what. I mean, can you imagine? Yeah, exactly. So anyway, then Gerald Ford. So we had the fuel efficiency standards, which, of course, the great law of unintended consequences. What happened? SUVs.
Right.
Why do we have SUVs? Because they are designated as small trucks and hence.
A loophole.
Surprise, surprise. The market figures out the loopholes, the great law of unintended consequences. So. Anyway, the point is that then he goes in here and he says something like, well, you can't really blame these people for, you know, gutting, as he calls it, gutting the environmental standards, the oil and so forth and so on, which, of course, they're not gutting it. And this is the same thing where people call when you don't raise taxes fast enough, they call it a cut. So, it's, you know, it only went up 9% instead of 12, so that's a cut.
Right.
So this is the same
We're
math.
We're saving you money.
Well, this is the math that so many people, you know, demagogue on. It's tragic, and I've talked to commissioners about this before locally and written letters nationally, and literally get laughed out. And I think it's because I think they have somebody else do their adding and subtracting for them. I mean, I don't think they know how to do it. Multiplication is totally out of the way.
Well, they love statistics.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, of course they.
We've talked about that many times.
That's right. So anyway, they said that they can't blame them because they got elected on the strength of the suburban SUV vote, which brings up a lot of things. Number one, if there are so many people out there that are suburban people that have SUVs, if that's all the people that voted for these, I mean, where are all the poor people in this country? I mean, the fact is that if everybody's in the suburban and owns an SUV, the world can't be that bad. I think, you know, sounds pretty good to me. Anyway, then they talk. So and that, of course, is a lie. This is the same guy that tarred. I remember this about a year ago. that said the Republicans in Alachua County are, and he used, it wasn't a four-letter word, but it was as close as you can get to it. You know, it was worse than bums.
Right.
It was worse than bums.
Toads.
Yeah. It was worse. It's scum, pond scum, or something. But there's 39,000 registered. I'm not. I'm a registered libertarian, of course. At any rate, there are 39,000 Republicans, and every one of them, as far as he, every one of them, is not. Should not even breathe pond scum. I mean, that's how bad, that's what he thought. And I thought, this is kind of a broad brush thing. But then he goes on here, and he says, this I also found out when I was driving around. It says, Rita showed us that no longer possible or to quickly or efficiently evacuate a major city. And I'm thinking about the roads. If you see the roads, I mean, when you do the major highways both ways, I mean, you got like 8-10 lanes going, and the fact that nobody gets out, I mean, what it tells me is I don't care if the entire country was one road. They still would fill it up. It still wouldn't work. They can't. They don't know.
That's just not taken into account when you're designing these roads at all.
Well, that's true. Of course, anything.
It really is.
You are exactly correct on one and what you said. And let me expand a minute on that. And that is that in a total unmitigated disaster, everything's going to. I mean, you can't prepare for the. You can. They try and prepare for the 100-year flood. I'm sorry. It just, you know.
They're building the boat now.
Well, the problem is that what happens is they have the 101-year flood that comes along, and it overrules that. So, I mean, it does things, you know, shit happens. Sorry, it does. And when that happens, you're on your own. I mean, you are on your own. And the government is sitting there saying, we'll take care of you. And when they can't, what do people do? They don't look to themselves and say, what do I do now? Which is, I guess, is kind of a little, as far as I'm concerned, survival of the fittest. Maybe those people die off, you know, culling of the herd.
It's much easier to blame the government.
I know that. But the simple fact is that we, you know, people are the government, and nobody's going to take care of yourself like you. I mean, it's just that simple. So anyway, then he goes on here. He says that trains and buses would be much more efficient. But, oh gosh, we've been tearing up the tracks, the train tracks, for years and turning them into bicycle paths. No, I mean, here locally, I can tell you, here locally, that is like the high gospel, you know, that is the altar that this guy especially worships at.
The rails to trails.
Rails to trails we have here. I mean, these people worship this as if it's a god.
We need more greens.
We need more green.
And I'm not disagreeing with that.
But let me tell you, when you get to that, especially here.
Right.
It's fascinating because
Jack Rose never disagreed with having more green.
No, that's right. Yeah. Now, are you? You are the new Johnny Appleseed. Only it's not Appleseed.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I know you don't. The Johnny M Seed, the M word seed. Yeah, I know.
Johnny Appleweed.
They don't call it a weed for nothing. So it's just part of his beautification program.
Is that what you do on those big long walks?
that's why he loves the rails to trails. Yeah, let me tell you, you have a little trail enhancement on the way, as they say. You know,
yeah, you're seeing trails out there, all right.
That's right.
You see the colors.
No, I mean, this is great because, you know, you get a little tired, you know, something like that. You just kind of rest by the side of the road.
What the government should be doing.
That's right.
They should be resting more, no question.
That's right. Well, it's interesting because you have a little, you know, you don't have to have a liquor store or anything on your little trail. You just have a little something there on the trail, no problem. No, that's good. It's this is Gainesville Green.
Gainesville Green.
That's right.
Did you see the new downtown plaza is going to be called the Gainesville Greens?
I saw that. Oh my God! No, it's not the plaza. It's the new condominium.
Well, that's what I mean. But it's the huge towers with
twelve story towers, one bedroom, one bath condos starting
200-something thousand.
Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah. Well,
the Gainesville Greens.
Yeah,
not to be confused with
Gainesville Green. Right. No, that's right. don't make that mistake. But anyway, the point is that these guys worship at the altar of bicycle paths. And, of course, for those of you who are listening in Sweden, let me tell you something.
They're way ahead of the game.
But you have to understand that in Sweden, I'm not kidding you about this. I remember when I got to Sweden one time, they had a heat wave in Sweden.
Got up to 62?
No, it got to 84.
Oh, wow.
And they sent everybody home.
Wow.
They couldn't stand it. I mean, people collapsing on the street, you know, just... I mean, it's
dropping like
and they're uttering words like, oh my God. No, what would it be in Swedish?
Swedish heat.
Hjälp mig or something like that, you know. And then they jag svälter ihjäl. No, that's I'm starving to death. Let's see. Anyway, so no, the point is that they send them home. So the point is,
well, he's trying to talk. People are not going to be. We're
bike
not
riding.
Gonna
You're not going
to
bike ride in this town.
You
have to understand that 85 is what it gets up to in the wintertime. 96, 97 with 112% humidity is right. And who rides a bike? Sorry.
I mean, if you're a student, maybe you can get away with it, but you're certainly not going to any
especially
job.
Some of those girls. They don't dress much, you know.
Well, exactly. There's no you know, dress requirement in class around here. So
no, I noticed.
And you have to. You wear short. You know, you essentially are wearing your bathing suit.
Yeah, that's right.
Especially if you're riding your bike, you're dripping sweat.
That's right. Interestingly enough, only about half the town is students. The rest of us are not students. Right. And I'm not riding my bike down to Publix to pick up a can of milk or whatever it is.
Well, this Cunningham, like so many others, is trying to get people to get rid of their cars.
Right.
It's just not going to happen.
Well, so you get rid of your cars, and Rita comes through here, and then what?
Right. Then
that's what happened in New Orleans.
Then you're hopping
you
on
ride
the trolley.
Rita away.
You're waiting for the trolley to try to get out of town. It's just not going to happen.
No, it's not. And that's the whole thing is that the question you have to ask yourself is basically, and the thing about it is we're talking hurricane here. We're talking a week's notice.
Right.
You can walk out of town in
a week.
We know
about hurricanes here in Florida.
That's right.
For you listeners out there. Here it comes about 7-8 days out.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's still coming 6 days out. Okay, this is the way it's moving. We see them coming.
So that's right.
As they were a little out of touch in New Orleans.
I guess they just didn't believe it.
Maybe they didn't all have a TV, but that's just impossible because no matter how large or small your welfare check. The first thing you have is a color TV.
That's right. No.
Probably plasma.
Poverty means that you don't have two TVs.
Two cars.
You just have basic cable.
And you have basic cable, but poverty means that you have a 2-year-old DVD player instead of the new one. I mean, that's poverty. So in this country, the people don't understand. No, but yeah, everybody knew. Everybody knew. And but they also knew literally that 1/3 of the inhabitants of New Orleans didn't have a car. That's 150,000, 200,000 people. They knew that going in. They knew a year ago.
And we've talked about this before, and that's where Amtrak came into play. They offered up the trains. No one took them.
Nope.
We've talked about that before. They had options.
They had options. You know, and then when all hell breaks loose and New Orleans has, you know, a brand new smell.
Right. Let's blame George Bush.
Let's blame George Bush. That's right. And the federal government. Let's fix the blame, not the problem. So
right.
I don't. But anyway, at least Bourbon Street's back.
Right.
So that's part of the problem.
Well, that's key.
So. That's right. So Curtis had said that he guaranteed us that the Mardi Gras this year was going to be a super celebration.
I think I remember talking about that.
We're going to have to go, I think,
it's
that.
So Cunningham is touching on the same stuff other people have.
That's right.
And with no substance.
And not only that, he has it backwards. He talks about the fact that the politicians are bought, and I'm saying, okay, and what else is new, and how are you going to change that?
We're all learning that.
Yeah, I mean, so what? I mean, you know, money talks and bullshit walks. I mean, we know that. To me, he's complaining in a vacuum. He also gets into the old Malthusian thing, which reminds me of Malthus, of course, was the fellow who predicted that during the Irish potato famine or whatever that, listen, he wasn't the one that said that they should eat their children, but he did say, no, I mean, that was because they were starving, so they, you know, eat you. But he talked about the fact that since population was increasing geometrically and food production was increasing arithmetically, since it, you know, twice as much acreage gets twice as much food, you know, when you have people having 8 kids, you're expanding exponentially. And he said basically 150, 200 years ago that the earth was going to die. And everybody, you know, vast famines, and this kind of prophecy has been around for since Malthus, and he has his name. Same thing with oil.
Probably
they talk about peak oil, and the fact is that literally since the 1920s,
what's peak oil?
Peak oil means that we have discovered all the oil there is, and from now on, the amount of oil that you're going to get will decline. Mm-hmm. There is no more that we found it all. The first study of peak oil came out. I know it was in the early 30s. We're talking almost 80 years ago, certainly. Mm-hmm. Every decade since then, some expert, and that's another thing that some oil expert has showed up and said, you know, in 5 years, we're going to be out. There was the Club of Rome in the 70s, and Ehrlich is, I don't know how, why this guy is still even listened to, this guy Paul Ehrlich. In the Club of Rome, they said that by 1998, this is 7 years ago, that literally there would be famines, that 20 million people dead, dying in the industrialized, no more oil, no more nothing.
Last drops.
Last drops, gone. That's right. Last drop.
Well, to digress briefly here, I just saw something the other day where now there's a new expert that is now saying that that oil may really or actually not be a fossil fuel. He's saying it may be a renewable resource that's inside the earth. So there's always some new thing like that.
Well, and then
arguing how many dinosaurs, if it is really dead dinosaurs, as we've always been told, it's really, conglomerate of organic creatures.
Organic,
a pot. It's a pot.
Right.
But essentially, if it's dead dinosaurs, how many dinosaurs would have had to die to have? So this is his argument. Any of our listeners have any more information?
Well, and then here's
an article. Time will tell.
Here's an article from West Virginia. Sherry Dean is she's switching all of her school buses to biodiesel. So there, she's growing half of her fuel.
Right.
And she didn't even tell
anybody. Smoking the other half.
She's pouring Crisco in the car. Well, yeah. And I know that's pretty trendy for all our California listeners out there. They're buying the diesel cars
That's Lawrence what Jane Anderson Fonda. Jane Fonda was going to make her tour on a bio bus or whatever. Right.
Well, I mean, here's the since 1999, they had 500,000 gallons of biodiesel in use, and now we've got 25 million in 2004. So
25 million gallons. Okay, that's about 10 seconds supply. That vapor. That's no good. Okay, fine. That's good. God love them for it, and I'm sure they feel better for it. I read the same thing a couple years ago that maybe it's not dead dinosaurs. That in fact it's some kind of hydrocarbon that's formed. Who knows what? Right. I don't know. But the market will figure it out. And I'll tell you where we've seen this happen once before. And that had to do with, believe it or not, until about 1876 or whatever, when Getty started doing all his oil stuff. Of course, the first use for oil was kerosene. And it replaced whale oil.
Right.
And whale oil, because whale oil, it got expensive because the whales were, not a renewable. I mean, they were renewable, but they were using them up too fast.
Right. Yeah, well, that took away the whaling industry.
Right. Exactly. And so, and because it was price, And of course,
we found a way around.
That's right.
And we're going to synthesize fuel. There's no question. In the next 20 years or less, they're going to come up with some absolute way to turn sand into oil or something, and then it'll be done.
Well, there are so many other things that are involved in that, as we've seen already, for instance. A lot of the new, my refrigerator, the computers are all what they call star energy compliant. I mean, they don't use, a refrigerator or a computer that used to use, 300-400 watts now uses 5. I mean, for, 156,000 times the power. So
we've all seen these little stickers on those.
Yeah, the star energy compliant, right, and so forth. And I bought some of the stuff, and you got the EER ratings and all that other stuff. My point is that the market will figure this out. And the market will certainly figure it out as the price of oil goes up. And again, he talks in here about how expensive this stuff is and sacrifices. We need to sacrifice. And are the politicians wrong and the scientists are right and so forth? He's talking about the gutting of the environmental gutting. They talk about gutting the environment. Again, this is one of those things where anything that's that is not an increase is a cut. So they've decided to delay some of the regulations, and as far as they're concerned, that's it. End of story.
Throw it in the trash.
Yeah, throw it in the trash. That's right. And it is demagoguery. And, of course, I look at it and say it isn't going to make any difference anyway, because money talks, as I said, money talks. And the politicians are going to be whore out to the people who get them elected. And if people get them elected that want to drive SUVs, that's what they're going to end up driving one way or the other. The other thing is that it's funny, they talk about the expense. Still, it has been said two things. One, $3 gasoline is the same as the price of gasoline was in 1980, before Reagan,
relatively.
Figuring in inflation.
Well, hey, we're still buying it. I haven't seen anybody not driving much in the last.
They haven't. And, the only time we ever had anything was when they panicked and they started going out and doing what they did. I remember when they did this, they top off. Mm-hmm. And they use up the damn lines in the thing, by buying 2, 3, 4 gallons of gas.
Right.
And
some people do that all the time.
They do.
That's right.
No, my mother-in-law does. She's as soon as the needle budges off F, she starts to panic.
We're running out of gas.
So, no, me, I'm one of these people that, you know, I carry an extra gallon or two in the trunk because I like to see how far it'll go before it actually.
always pushing the limits, aren't you? Pushing the
limits. That left foot donor.
Yeah, that's. That's my car. I wish.
Need a tuna.
Yeah, that's right.
Why?
Well, the oil argument will always be around. We'll always
well,
be
the thing
about
it
here.
is it the market? There's no question that if it takes a little while to build a refinery, a drill a well, we know that. So if the price stays high for any length of time, like a year or two, you believe me, things are going to change. But it takes a while. You just the day the oil price goes to $6 a gallon, doesn't everybody walk out that day, junk their Cadillac, and jump into a, you know, moped?
Right.
it doesn't happen that day.
Right.
It takes time for all of that stuff. The problem, of course, is that politicians are always in a rush to do something and do anything, even if it's wrong, which it usually is. They just, you know, the main thing is to stay elected. So whatever it takes, you know, the only little minor saving grace we've got here is that it's still, two years before the big election.
Right.
Isn't that right?
Yep.
Yeah, we have midterms coming up sometime. What is this?
Next
year. Next year's midterm.
It's
3 years. 3 years before the presidential election. So it's a year before the midterms, which are usually not as potent as the 2008 when we have.
But still make for good.
Yeah, that's right. So anyway, the point, what I'm trying to say, I guess, is that they may not do much. Politicians have, it's funny how they accuse the corporations of having short-term, quarter-to-quarter goals. These guys have got practically minute-to-minute.
All right, week to week, yeah.
I mean, really, they're unbelievable. And where this really comes out, and I'm going to just digress for 1 second here, is one of the things that fell off the table because of Rita and because of the quote, scandals, you know, the Brown, the FEMA
right,
guy and all
right,
that.
Right.
One of the things that fell off the table in Bush's agenda was Social Security.
Haven't heard about that.
Haven't heard a thing. And let me tell you something for you people who are listening in the United States. If you think, if you are under 30, if you're under 35 and think you're going to collect a Social Security check, I laugh on you. It is not going to happen. It is simply not going. This is a classic case, and Bush had it right, more or less. Actually, they had it right. I remember the first Social Security reform in 1978. That's how long ago the first one. When the mathematicians realized that it wasn't going to work.
Right.
They said, look, you have to do something. And the fixes have been the Band-Aid patch fixes from hell because they've gotten the politician past the next election. The point is that Social Security and a lot of these things depend on something, on a secret called compounding. Compounding is one of those things. I don't even know if I could tell the Noonan's Lake flower thing.
You can let them roll with that. That's a good one.
And so, you know, the question is this. Let me just give you a real quick thing. This is a mathematics thing. You have Noonan's Lake out here, which is, you know, 50 acres or something like that. And I'm going to give you, for instance, a hypothetical. On December 31st, the entire lake will be covered with these little flowers. Exactly covered. Exactly that day it will be covered with these little flowers.
And the flowers reproduce how often?
The flowers reproduce once a day. Mm-hmm. They double. In other words, each flower makes a clone once a day. On January 1st, the previous January 1st, I put one flower in Lake Noonan. And 364 days later, whatever, 365 days later, on December 31st, the lake exactly covers that day.
Will be covered.
Will be covered exactly, 100%.
Was this a scientific experiment of yours?
Yeah,
Jimmy?
This is a scientific. So my question is, the day before, so we start off with one flower. 365 days later, it's exactly covered with flowers. The question I have is, how much of the lake is covered on December 30th?
Half.
Half the lake is covered.
Right.
No, I mean, think about it.
Half. Right, right, right.
And so, and the day before that, one quarter of the lake is covered.
I didn't know if there was a deeper answer.
A lot of people would say, would look at it arithmetically rather than geometrically. And they would say, look, if you have one flower on the first day and a million flowers on the last day, then the next to last day, you've got just a little bit less than a million. In other words, they're looking at it that way.
In a linear fashion.
So the point is that on the next to last day, you have half a million, then it's a quarter. The point is that you wouldn't even know that there were flowers on the lake on Christmas Day. They wouldn't even notice it. And yet this has been growing since January 1st.
All right. So this ties into
this ties into Social Security. This is called compounding. You have to give it time. And if you want to fix Social Security in the year 2038, you have to start today. I'm sorry, you have to start today. Now, you will not see anything happen that it won't make any difference until, you know, 2036.
Right.
So that's the problem with politicians, is they know, all the mathematicians, all the actuarial people know that in order to fix it, you have to start today, and you will see nothing out of this for 20 years.
So there's no benefit to them.
Exactly.
At
that's
all.
The point. That's even though there are going to be 100 million people in the year 2038 who are suddenly going to wake up one morning and not get their check.
They're not going to look back to the year 2005 and Mayor Cunningham.
No. They are going to...
was the reason.
They are going to break out the firebrands, the feathers, and march down the street.
We spit on Mayor Cunningham.
Yeah, that's right. I would not want to be elected in the year 2036. That's a year that I would like to be, you know...
Well, it's all about spin, and they'll find some way to... we're going to start today.
Well, there's a whole new dynamic, too. If you read, of course, Age of the Spiritual Machines, you might find that we all might end up living a lot longer than is
that's
expected.
That's the other thing. Is talk about Social Security. They haven't, they've made some little piddly thing about raising the retirement age to 67, I think now.
It's 75.
Or whatever. But my point is, what would happen if tomorrow they invented a drug, an anti-aging drug, you know,
right.
L'Oreal or somebody shows up with...
Viagra.
Viagra, right.
They're working on it.
They're working on it. That's right. And suddenly, you know, the life expectancy was 140.
Right.
I mean, you know, if you think the Social Security... And that's actually where we're headed. So if you think that the Social Security system is broke now, you ain't seen nothing.
Right.
I mean, it's, you know, it's a joke. And, of course, it's a Ponzi scheme. And it figures on people dying.
At 65.
Right. In other words, you're supposed to die.
Right.
You're supposed
hurry to get
up like, and
you're
die.
Supposed to get like one check, maybe.
Yeah, one check and then die.
And
it is
paying in for your whole life.
Don't worry. The men in black will take on a new meaning here, because what they're going to do is the day after you get your first check, suddenly, he died of a self-inflicted bullet wounds.
Right.
Several of them to the back of the head, and
he was tied up.
I've never seen a suicide like that before, but I'll tell you, they're happening every day. Unbelievable.
Regular.
I'm having my retirement party, but don't tell anybody.
That's right. No, it's going to be like Logan's Run, you know, where you know, age 65, you sacrifice yourself, like maybe in that Star Trek thing where walk into the... into the little thing.
Incinerators,
yeah.
All right, so that was our Social Security digression.
Yeah, that was our... Okay. So yeah, exactly. The point is that as far as oil is concerned, the market will figure it out. Unfortunately, it's being distorted by our friends in Washington, Tallahassee, and by Ron.
Because we are the market.
That's right. Whether they like it or not, we are. They can distort it by this 55-mile-an-hour speed limit, which arguably cost us more. By rationing, which of course makes rationing or price controls, which make criminals out of a lot of people that weren't criminals before. And you know, one thing I haven't noticed this time, though, which was a big deal, in 1979, when the wage and price, the caps were put on the price of gasoline, the first thing that happened was a lot of people got arrested for siphoning. I'm serious. And I'll tell you, the gas cap lock manufacturers made a killing.
Yep.
I mean, it was just, and that's where... You can date the fact that you can open your gas flipper, whatever it is on your thing, from that day, from the inside
of
your car.
From the inside.
Yeah.
Right.
And you can lock it.
Right.
I mean, you can, not only can you, my little Honda, for God's sakes, has a key on it. I can actually lock the lever from being able to be pulled up even after you broke into the car.
Oh, yeah.
Although my GMC does not. So it still pop it right open.
Let's go siphon the gas.
Siphon the hell out of it.
I'm sorry. What's
pour sugar in there, urinate, whatever. You know.
What's your address again?
All of the... Right.
So let me mark this down. That's right. Yeah.
For anybody, all GMCs.
So that's why we love GMCs.
News for our Jimmy
but we love
listeners.
GMCs.
Yeah.
One of our sponsors, soon to be sponsored.
Well, I don't know. If we can siphon their gas, I don't know. Maybe it would be a good thing. That might be a good thing. No, they seriously... I haven't seen any of that, though. I haven't seen any siphoning... They have now. One thing they have talked about, again, this brings up, this dovetails into another point, and that has to do with gouging. They want to pass a lady from one of the representatives from Washington State, federal legislature wants to pass a federal anti-gouging law.
Of course, we need one.
Well, no, I mean you can't imagine. I mean, I can't imagine for 2 seconds what a law like that would look like.
It actually should be called an instantaneous market adjustment instead of gouging.
IMA.
Yeah, that's right. IMA. I like that. I like that. No, that's right. An instantaneous market adjustment. I like that. No, gouging is something that is, it's got a bad name.
I think that's what I'm saying. That's why we need to change the name of it.
Supply and demand. No, we should, yeah. That's right. Instantaneous market adjustment. Right. I like that. I think we'll promote that on the Jimmy Doan show. We'll have some bumper stickers made up.
Yeah, actually.
I'm a not gouging.
That's great.
Yeah.
Check out our website for
that's
those.
It. I'm a nut gouging.
That's it. It's perfect. It's from the Italian.
That's right. I'm a nut gouging.
That's right. No, we haven't.
And we can sell it to all the shop owners around.
Oh,
you know,
it's perfect.
Great.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and you could have a sign up there.
That's right. Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
You know, underneath your price of $4.28 a gallon, you have I'm a not gouging.
That's
right.
I'm a not gouging.
That's it.
I'm a businessman.
I'm a businessman. That's right. Hey, Pazan.
Hey, if we own the gas station, you know, you'd want to get everything.
No, well, you get it while you can because. Again, there are so many things involved in that. As somebody was saying, they have independent gas stations, and then they have, you know, company-owned chain franchises. I mean, they all pay different. Believe it or not, they pay different prices for their oil. Of course, sure. How much of it do you have left in the ground? What are you paying today?
Right.
You know, what constitutes gouging when the price is all over the place?
You just got the truck delivery yesterday at $1.12 a gallon.
Right, and you happen to have a million gallon tank, and whereas your buddy down the road has got, you know, four carry-on polyethylene cans that right. That have to be filled up every 55 hour.
55-gallon jugs.
55-gallon jugs at hand pump that have to be filled up every hour, you know, and his prices are different from yours. So, I mean, and I just wonder at what 2% over, 10%, you know, people walk in. This would be the classic case, a government of men, not laws. I mean, somebody would walk in there, and there's some little P-nanny bureaucrat could walk through there with a badge on and say, oh, I find thee, F-I-N-E, not fine,
right.
I find thee, you know, $10,000 because your price is 2 cents too higher. I mean, it's unbelievable to think.
And if you really add up, I mean, what is the difference between 5 or 10 cents a gallon?
Even if it's a dollar, I mean, so you don't have to buy it.
Right.
I mean, it's that simple. That's the quickest thing. And of course, what they also want to do, the other way that they want to conserve gas, which is just unbelievable, is they want to put a big fat tax on it, like they have on cigarettes.
Well, every time you can get a tax in there.
Well, they want to put, you know, an extra dollar or two tax, and that's it.
And who gets that tax?
You do. You know, and of course, this is the same thing that happened with the cigarette settlement. They have a vested interest, and they say, well, we want conservation. But, oh, by the way, don't conserve too much because we need the tax money. So, you know, here's the tobacco settlement. We do this because it's a bad thing for you to smoke. But, oh, by the way, keep smoking because we need the money. So, I mean, you're going, what, you know, which is it? So
right.
It is phenomenal when you think about, again, this legislator lady, whatever, whoever she was from Washington State. I you've got to think that somebody is so mathematically challenged that she would come up with something like this and suggest it. It is on so many levels, it makes absolutely no sense at all. I mean, absolutely no sense.
Do we know this?
I forget who it is. I mean, I could probably look it up here.
Seattle listeners, whatever, email us and let us know.
Yeah, let us know.
She's from Seattle?
No, she's from Washington State.
Washington State.
And Washington State is a small state. They probably have about 12 representatives, I'm guessing, around 10 or 12 representatives. So she's one of them.
You know, here's another piece of Seattle news. Seattle moves to ban lap dances.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa, we digress.
Wait. No, I'll digress for that. I'm in. Wait a minute, man. Is this the one where they're supposed to stay 4 feet away?
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be the classic argument. Here it is. What church is involved?
No, I didn't say anything about any churches.
No.
It's just an organization.
These are certain organizations. I'll tell you exactly who it is. It's Desperate Housewives. That's what it is. I'll tell you. The reason I'm desperate is because my husband is over at Lap Dance City.
he'll come home all worked up, and you know you'll get yours.
I was going to say I can tell you from
he ain't taking the strippers home.
All right, so let's hear what's their main argument. and like we haven't heard it before.
It's morals, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's morals. I mean, it's just they're fearing a rash of new cabarets after a federal judge struck down the city's 17-year-old moratorium on strip clubs. You know, go judge, you know, a federal judge.
It's a business. It's supply and demand.
Yeah, and
they're
then,
not going to be all over the place if the people don't want them, the people aren't going to support them.
The judge got laid, didn't he?
It was the judge's hangout.
Yeah, right.
He's
right.
Big man on campus at the strip club.
Yeah, you bet. I mean, not
free lap dance for you, Judge Reinhardt.
I bet.
Well, and of course, Seattle has been notorious for having, it's been pretty freelance city. I mean, they've had a huge...
We've got some good feedback from Seattle. We appreciate the listeners out there.
Yeah. Well, that's the home grunge bands, isn't it?
Home grunge. Well, yeah. It used to be. Yeah. Flannel and grunge bands.
Yeah, that used to be. But they're one of these raining all the time green cities, too, aren't they? Aren't they kind of like a...
Yeah, they're pretty organic out there.
Yeah, organic. That's what it is, yeah.
Organic.
They're organic. That's organic thing.
But no orgasms allowed in the...
Right.
Organic, but no orgasms
apparently
allowed
not.
In the lap dance.
That's right.
No, they said there's something about you have to stay 4 feet away. I mean, how do you tip the bitch? I mean, you know, just...
I mean, is that her name?
I mean, you know, you make a little paper airplanes out of your money and throw it, I guess, or something.
Well, they got them. They got all the fishermen out there in Seattle and Washington State.
Yeah,
just like truckers, huh? They got to come in and
yeah, they always packed in down here at the Risque Campe Risque or whatever
Cafe Risque
Cafe yeah. Camp Risque.
Yeah. No lab dances. No placing dollar bills in dancers' G strings.
How about 20s?
No, you know, they're just basically. Oh, and they said they're going to have. I don't mean to say they're going to raise the illumination in there, but they said it's going to be like parking garage brightness.
Wear your sunglasses,
right? And no private rooms or anything.
So do you just wad up your dollar bills and throw them
at them? I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe a pulley system.
Well, this is the same thing. This is like so many things.
Right. We've heard this before.
Yeah. No. But I mean, it's designed actually to put them out of business. I mean, you know, you can say, oh, you can have business, but by the way, you can have a lap dance strip club business, but you're not allowed to have any women.
Right.
No girls allowed.
There was protests from more than 100 of the city's 554 licensed dancers.
Licensed.
Now, that would have been
dancers.
A good protest.
Boy, I'll tell you. Well,
we have some
footage
from that.
Many toting young children.
Eric, look up some footage.
I'm going to have to look at that. Tiffany Nietrauer, 24-year-old dancer at Sands Showgirls, said she wouldn't be able to afford and support her two daughters, ages 1 and 5, without the $400 to $600 a day she makes.
They didn't ask her how much the father made, right?
No, I guess not.
He wasn't mentioned in the conversation. Well, like we've seen this argument.
Well, after 4 or 5 lap dances, you don't know who the father is. So that's a little bit of a problem there.
Yeah, I love
same
her
old
quote
argument.
Here. I don't know why they're bothering. We're not doing prostitution in there at all, Nietrauer said.
Well, that sucks.
I know. Well, that's what I say. I'd be making a lot more money if I was. If they want to go after prostitution, why don't they go after the escort services? Of course, that, you know, who knows? Because they're probably...
It's the big, dancers versus the escort, you know, fight
right,
out
right.
there.
That's right.
So that was a low blow on her. Get those escort women. They're the slutty ones.
Yeah.
And,
hey, low blow. low blow. Come on, Jack. I think that's a little off the deep end there.
A little in the deep end.
That's
there.
It. Low blow.
All right, what else we got?
Hold on. 197,000 people visited the city's clubs, not including the Lusty Lady Peep Show.
Or the judges.
Right.
They didn't click the clicker when the judge
And it generated $80,000 in admission taxes. You know, what are they going to do without that $80,000 now?
Well, that's of course, that brings up, that actually is a kind of interesting point, because $80,000, I'm sure, in Seattle's budget is not even a rounding error.
No.
They do the same thing here. It is amazing how much time they spend when you watch our cable access, government access channel.
Right.
You see these guys.
I don't know how you watch that. It makes me want to vomit.
It is true.
Everybody has these across. You have your local access.
Cable access channel.
Yeah, they got one camera.
They got.
They move it every now and then.
They do a pretty good job, actually.
Yeah.
They do a pretty good job. They zero in on. They got two cameras, actually. They can zero in on the people talking, and they can zero in on the commissioner's response. You know, which of course that's good. That's one reason I'm not a commissioner, because you know I'd be sitting there with my.
Well, you know what we need?
One finger salute.
Well, we get to see our government at work.
And they also have a camera that if somebody puts up, they have a pretty good AV thing where they can put, you can take your laptop in there and put your display on your PowerPoint, whatever it is.
Right.
And then they can put that on the video. So, right. So actually, it's not bad.
Not bad.
All things considered.
We need one of those cameras instead of a normal camera, is one that they have over in Texas. Did you hear about that one that's at the shooting range?
Yeah, we did. We talked about that last show. You could actually, where you can actually shoot your game on the internet. You can actually.
I wasn't here for the last show.
No, so. You weren't. But the last, we talked about where you could get. The guy had to close the site down, but he had guns, and you could.
And you could sign on and joystick him around, right? We talked about that in the last show.
Yeah.
Eric, we call that short-term memory loss.
That's right.
I mixed that show, and I still didn't hear that on the last show.
I could have sworn we didn't do that, but
These local, what I really like about the cable access, so you're watching, like you said, they have one for the judges, the kits commissioners. And then one, of course, on the public speaker but behind him is everybody else.
Right.
Picking their nose and falling asleep.
Right. Well, of course,
entertainment.
Well, it's interesting because a couple times I've gone down there, it is amazing. I'll come home from the meeting and my phone machine will be lit up. I saw you on TV.
Hey, dude. Yeah, you did well. Hey, dude.
Where you going to start your own show? Hey, dude. Saw you in the background. Hey, how was that booger? That's right. But they allow pseudo ersatz democracy here. They allow anybody to speak. And I mean, they've had drunks get up there, and then they had the guy the other day that was a religious, and God will come down and smite thee if you let the,
well, that happens regularly.
Okay, Reverend.
Yeah, that's right. No, they have a couple of people that are really fire and brimstone that show up pretty regularly.
Oh, and the commissioners, the mayor, they all know him.
I know.
Yes, sir. Mr. James, what would you like to say today?
That's right. Please identify yourself.
Right,
That's right. We know. Right, hey, Bob, good to see you. Yeah, that's right. No,
Otis.
It is. Yeah, Elvis.
No,
yeah.
Otis.
Otis, yeah, right.
like Mayberry.
Mayberry, right. But it is interesting that this is a classic. One of the books that I think it's on our website that is a must reading is Parkinson's Law. Is that on it?
Absolutely.
It's been out of print for 30 years, but it's a must read book, and it talks about committeedom and this sort of thing. But what it does talk about is budgeting. And the fact is, if you've got our city has a budget of, I think, about $100 million. I think the city budget is about 100, and the county budget is about $270 million. Anyway, and these people will sit there, and for hours, they will argue over $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, which is not even a rounding error.
Right.
And people will show up, and they're just off the deep end about, are you going to cut my whatever it is, my allocation for flowers in the median from, $500 to $400, and they're sitting there screaming, they got their people in the background there, with their buttons on that says save the flowers.
Chanting.
Yeah, picketing outside, and we're talking about, give it a rest.
Right.
So but the reason is that anybody, any commissioner, of course, even though the city, I think the city commissioners get 30 or 40,000 and the county gets 60, 65,000 a year. For their part-time jobs, and of course they're going to shoot me for saying part-time, but it should be. The point is that they can relate to 10, 15, 20, and they know what that looks like. Right. But you show up and you're worth $20 million, and nobody knows what 20. The difference between 20 million and 13 million, who knows? I mean, that's.
I would like to know.
Well, I know.
I would like to be able to.
But when they defer to the experts.
Right.
And of course, all kinds of trouble there. This had to do with they deferred. I remember again in deferring to the experts. What they'll do is they'll hire a consultant.
For $20,000 or $30,000.
Oh, for $100,000
to save them,
easy
to
100.
Save them $50,000.
Oh, all day long, all day long. And then and then I can tell you here just locally. Give you an example, the Ironwood. Did we mention this last time about Ironwood still on
one of the shows
on the city tit still or whatever
it
is?
It is a local golf club.
Local golf club. It's our only what do you call it?
Public one
that is owned by the people of Alachua County or city of Gainesville or whatever. I forget whether it's county or city. Point is that I guess it must have been 8 years ago they hired $100,000. I remember when they did it. They hired a consultant for $100,000. I remember the guy's name and everything that showed up at our Rotary Club meeting. This thing was an inch thick, and it showed for $100,000 they had produced, 300 pages of material that proved conclusively that Ironwood was not going to cost the city anything, or whoever. I'm just going to say city. It might be the county.
Because Ironwood was a private course.
It was going bust.
Right.
It was going bust, and so they convinced the city. They convinced the city to buy it. And so they figured out that they could, because it was, the city wanted to get in the recreation business in a big way, golfing business, whatever. And they hired this consultant, $100,000. And the consultant came back and said, yep, sure enough, it's not going to cost the taxpayers anything. The greens fees will take care of it, and you don't have a thing to worry about, and you'll be able to be a public golf course, and everything will be rosy. It'll take 6 months or a year. I forget. I think they said in a year. Okay, here it is, 8 years later.
It'll take a year to start turning the profit?
Yeah.
Really?
In other words, yeah, well, the reason was it was in such disrepair. They had to come up with some money. That was the reason that for the whole thing in the first place was because they had to come up with, you know, $1 million or $500,000 or something.
To fix the greenhouse
and the court and the clubhouse.
Right.
The greens and the course, the fairways and so forth. It was all overgrown, weed flooded. It's a low area.
Right.
You know, it was the pits.
Swampland.
It was swamp. That's right. It was swamp. Everything was swamp.
So it's not going to cost a thing.
It's going to cost it's going to be a moneymaker. In other words, you have to come up with $1 million. They paid $100,000 for this thing. The consultant comes back, says, look, cost $1 million to fix this whole thing up. After that, it's smooth sailing. It'll be a money generator.
And like, just go ahead and give me my check now.
That's right. Oh, yeah. No, no question. That's right. And I'm out of here. I'm going back down to Miami.
Right.
Okay, here it is 8 years later, and it's costing, I think, $250,000 a year still. You know, they're feeding it every year. It's still not – it's a drain.
I've played golf there twice.
Have you? And?
Three times. It's better than it used to be. But
it ought to be.
Yeah.
I don't
deserted.
Person. Well, I don't notice any thank you notes in my mailbox from the people that pay out there because I'm paying for it.
Right. Well, thanks.
Yeah. And I'm not even going to say you're welcome on that.
No, but I paid for it too, though. So that's why I went out.
Well, now come on. You know, it's like the buses here. You know, every time you put it costs $1 for a bus ride, and I'm paying.
Well,
$2.
He's got to pay taxes too. He's saying.
Oh, right.
Right.
You know. Yeah. Okay. Right. Okay. Yeah.
I had to go look at my tax dollars at work.
Yeah. Examine. Yeah, and they're not working very hard out there.
I can tell you that.
Well, I mean, I know people that live on the course, and I go over there fairly often, and there's nobody ever on the course.
It's like the buses in town, other than the student buses. Nobody's in there.
Right.
I think that's why they keep the windows tinted.
You know, I
so you can
they,
see
you can't see how unused they are.
This just reminded me of something.
We got to get some tin on these buses.
It was actually last year. It was not this past Father's Day. The Father's Day before that, I had entered my name into a drawing, and sure enough, I got a call. I won. It was winning. I guess
a
round for four at Ironwood. Mm-hmm. Coincidentally, so I got a free four rounds plus lunch, you know, tax not included, plus lunch and
tip not included, probably
tip not included, of course, and I still haven't used it. Year and a half later, I have so people aren't exactly rushing out.
I was going
to
say when
to play Ironwood golf.
If it's free and you don't use it for you and three of your buddies,
I had forgotten about it until we brought.
They should
this
sell
up,
it to so. Cafe Risque,
well, or with Disney or somebody. Yeah, no,
right.
That's. Yeah, Cafe Risque. Oh boy, you know, have some
babes in the, you know,
the caddies,
there. Right?
The caddiesses.
Exactly. That's
right.
What I'm thinking.
That's
all right.
Right. We could film caddy. We could make Caddyshack South. On the, you know, we could film our own. We have
for
to do
real.
That. That's right. No, we need to start with our video setups anyway.
Right.
Sometime that would be a
so lesson for all you Jimmy Dunn listeners. If you have any golf courses that the city wants to buy in your town, just point them our direction, and we'll show you the result.
Well, it's interesting because some people do make money out in Palm Desert.
Don't we have a recreation tax in?
In fact, we do. They wanted to up that, and interestingly enough, in today's paper, I told you we had way too much stuff for the show. Mm-hmm. They're claiming one of our commissioners is claiming patting himself on the back, breaking his arm, because they actually lowered our millage rate. Did you know that?
I did not know.
They lowered our.
But I know we already had a very high.
Well, it was within. It was so high that they were having. It was bumping up against the limit that's state mandated.
What's the millage rate?
The millage rate is how much you. The millage rate is something like 9 mils per $1,000 or something. It's how much you pay per.
It's a tax rate.
It's our property tax.
Uh-huh.
And the maximum you can pay on the property tax on the what they call the regular property tax. Is 10 mils, what they call 10 mils, which means it's 0.01%, I think, or something like that, is the most you're allowed to pay on your property.
Mm-hmm. So they lowered
it down from 0.01 to 0.011 or something, or whatever, right. 0.0999 or
right.
something.
Yeah, that's why I didn't hear about it.
Okay, well, it turned out it's going to save, you know, a $150,000 house going to save you like $6 a year or something like that. But what they did, of course, on the flip side.
Not even a double.
No, not only that. On the flip side, of course, all the appraisals went up. So your checks, you're going to write all the commercial properties and rental properties and so forth at the very minimum.
So let's raise the price, then market the market price down.
Well, what they did is they are claiming that they lowered your taxes. Okay, mm-hmm. Two things. One, the check that you write is going to be larger. So you can call it whatever you want, but they lowered the millage rate. That was number one. And number two, of course, the appraisal rates, the values because of the housing boom and so forth went up. And finally, of course, they are using some tax money to buy up currently taxable properties and put them into the land trust, which are non-taxable. So at that rate, all the property will be non-taxable here pretty shortly. I don't know where they're going to get their money. But the other thing is you have to realize is that you don't even have to look at those numbers. That's the silliest thing in the world. I saw when the first thing came out, and the county income went from $220 million to $270 million in 1 year. Okay? You don't have to know anything else. You can sit there and say, we're paying no taxes. I don't care. Right. Bullshit. The fact is, where does that money is not Tooth Fairy money. I mean, it does not come from the Tooth Fairy. It comes from us. You can claim that you've lowered the property taxes, but you haven't. And it's just that simple. And it's just amazing. And, of course, it's never enough. They were doing, again, in today's paper, somebody was, they had raised the amount of money that they put in something. I forget what it was here. I'll look it up. And they said, well, that's a start. And it just never ends. I mean, it never ends when somebody.
And this gets back to the politician trying to make an impression in the time that they have.
Yeah.
They're really doing nothing. But getting an article in the paper, making them seem like they've done a name
recognition. Right. They're always running. Right. They are always running.
Patting themselves on the back.
And that is, speaking of, it's funny how government people always end up patting themselves on the back when, of all the people, you think this is not a really good thing. I was looking at the Joint Chiefs of Staff picture, and he's got all of these color ribbons on his chest. And I'm wondering, does anybody really know what they're all for? I mean, he's got like 50 of them.
But this is the AIDS and the bring home our troops. Is that what you're talking about?
No. I'm talking about the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. So these are for battles and stuff.
Oh, okay. Oh, he's,
you know, he's, you're talking about the ribbons or medals.
I was talking about.
Well, he's got like his Eagle Scout badge.
Right. And yeah. But I mean, he's got
rope tying is right. One.
He's got his 40 of them
he's
on
got
there.
His colors.
Right. Yeah. Right. I mean, it's unbelievable. And
pocket knife ribbon. And
that's right. Didn't get cut that day, ribbon.
Right.
Actually hit the target that day.
Right.
Only killed 3 people during the training.
That's right. But I just, again, these people, they pat themselves on the back, all the time. And of course, they're doing another thing here. They want to, speaking of patting, our old governor here, who was
here in Florida.
Here in Florida, Governor Martinez, who is now a senator. And let me put it this way. Marginal is a kind word to use his stewardship over Florida while he was governor. And they want to name a new building after him, of course, in Tallahassee.
Wasn't he the drug czar, or what? Did he have a lot? He had a lot to do with it.
He may have.
I know William Bennett was.
Bennett was.
Martinez was.
He may very well have been. Again, czar always worries me, but
right, didn't worry him.
Yeah, no,
he liked that.
He may have been. He was governor here for 4 or 6 years or whatever it was back in the late 80s, I think, early or maybe.
So, what building?
An environmental building. Because he was supposedly big on the environment.
Really?
Yeah, big. And part of his big on the environment was the fact that he took a lot of the land off the tax rolls and put it into
his pocket.
Conservation Trust, as they call it here, protect the Everglades and all on.
Right.
So, of course, that brings up one of the other things that I want to talk about, and that had to do with the zoning and property rights. And we talked at the beginning of the show, we talked for a minute about, in this little town in Maine. Did we talk about that at the beginning of the show?
That was our pre-show.
That was pre-show. Okay. The little town in Maine, 1,200 people, they want to ban McDonald's and Subways and everything else. They want to have it, be a little town in Maine.
Not in our town.
Not in our town. No, but this is up in Maine, 1,200 people. And, as far as I'm concerned, 1,200 people get together and they decide they don't want the Big M or Golden Arches or whatever. That's, that's pretty much their business. If you don't like it, you can move to the next little town in Maine, I guess, right, where they do have them, I suppose. It's no big deal. But all too often, they will tromp all over property rights, anytime they want. Now, one of the things that that the Gainesville Sun here is panic stricken about has to do with the gutting of the Endangered Lands Act, I guess is what it is. That is to say, who is it that actually protects the property? Is it the EPA? Environmental Protection Agency, right? They have, so anyway, they claim that they want to gut the EPA rules, and what right now, as you well know, remember the eminent domain case that they did through. I mean, you can grab up somebody's land if you find an endangered snail darter on somebody's 5,000 acre ranch. You can say this land cannot be used for anything except the snail darter.
Right,
and
we have the gopher tortoise. stuff around here.
Go for tourists.
We also have, you know, Indian land if they come across.
Native
American land. That's the troops coming through.
That's the Indians.
But if you find this, it's sacred land or it's.
But the point is that it's a taking. And the fact is that here, you know, you might have paid, you know, $1 million for your property, and all of a sudden they find a mound on it, or they find a gopher tortoise, and suddenly
it's not your property anymore.
And of course, what they have tried to do, and there was a ruling in South Carolina about some beachfront property, Supreme Court ruling, beachfront property where they had the town or the state of South Carolina had told this guy who paid $2 million for his property. He had two lots, wanted to build on it, and they said, no, you can't do that. It's endangered, you know, seaweeds or something.
Sand fleas
and the, right. and the sand oats or whatever those things are.
You know, all right, that's right.
And he sued and said, look, you know, I paid $2 million for this, and I was going to build on it. It was okay when I did it, and suddenly, you know, you come in here and tell me that my land is not, I can't do it, and so it's worthless. And I, you know, you need to pay me if you're gonna do this. If you're gonna take the land, you know, just compensation. And they said, no, we can do that. So he went to the Supreme Court of the United States, and the Supreme Court said, yep, sure enough, you know, if you're gonna make his land worthless, you have to pay him for it. If the state does it,
right.
Up until that time, there was, and it actually, believe it or not, is a percentage thing. That is to say, if the Environmental Protection Agency or somebody like that walks in and deems that 10% of your property is worthless, they can get away. There's no taking. They don't have to pay for that. You know, if you had planned to put a, 47 houses on your property and you can only put 40, that's not a taking, according, still not a taking. Too bad, that kind of thing. The point is that they want to, what the Bush administration says, look, if you're going to do a taking, you know, you do have to pay for it. I'm sorry, you know, 40, if you're going to take away 7 units or something, you do have to pay for that.
Well, they're declaring it has value of another sort, then they need to pay for that.
Right.
Taking away your value of property rights. If it has environmental value to you, well, that's fine. Pay for it.
Right. Well, of course, if it has environmental property to you, then you can pay for it. And there are people that want to keep the land pristine or whatever it is, and that's their business. Fine. Right. But for the rest of the community, if the rest of the community shows up on my front lawn and says, oh, by the way, we deem your property endangered, so you can't touch it anymore, and I say, well, go away. Or else buy it. You know, you don't like it, then you can buy it. And they.
Here's Jimmy hacking up his redwoods.
The 800-year-old oak tree in the front.
Timber!
I'll do what I want on my property.
Watch this. That's right.
Well, sir, buy it, right?
So anyway, they call that, the Gainesville Sun calls that a gutting of the law. That is to say, they want, the fact is that you got to pay for what you want is called a gutting of the law. It's mind-boggling to me. And they also talk about how it's going to bust the budget. This particular gutting of the thing is supposed to. This has to do with people's perspective. $10 million is supposed to cost the first year. Now this is out of a federal budget of $2.5 trillion. It's going to cost $10 million. I mean, we are not even talking a rounding error on a rounding error. I mean, we are talking. You know, not the amount of money that's wasted on pencil lead racers. Right. You know, something. I mean, it's nothing. And they say this is going to bust the budget. Well, it's beyond belief to think that they would, the $10 million. Let me put it this way: if $10 million busts the budget, we're in trouble. We're in
it's
trouble.
Poor planning.
Yeah. Well, of course, the Gainesville Sun calls this the Endangered Condo Act because they say that all this land is going to be dealt with. And the other thing,
condos everywhere.
Well, I can tell you, I do remember years ago when I lived in South Florida. We lived on right off the Intracoastal Waterway, and we had a great view of the Atlantic Ocean. Got to see the sunrise come up every day. It was really great. It was about a mile away. It was on the other side of the Intracoastal Waterway on the Barrier Islands or whatever you want to call it. And now today, if there are, you know, 50-story condos or whatever, you don't have the view anymore, and people complain. I mean, when they started putting the condos up, the people on my side of the Intracoastal Waterway said, oh, you can't do that. And I'm sitting there saying, yes, you can.
Yeah, they bought the land. Right?
Yeah, I'm sorry. They can. You know, right. What it boiled down to was you had something for free that you were not entitled to for all those years. Now, you know, so. I mean,
F you.
Yeah, that's right. Thank your lucky stars. I mean, that's.
You should have bought on the other.
That's right. And you can, and if you want to, you can sell your house on that side and go buy one of the condos.
That's
if it's that important to you. So they have a lot of that. That's what they are treading on here in the Gainesville Sun editorial. They call it the Endangered Condo Act. You know, kind of a sarcastic thing, like everybody's going to put up condos, on this property, on this quote endangered property, and it's of course it's just simply not true. But again, the market will figure it out, and I don't have a problem. You know, for me personally, if somebody, you know, that's their property, it's, as a libertarian. And again, this brings up the, when we were just talking a minute ago about this little town in Maine, 1,200 people, they decide, you know, and you might say, Jimmy, look, if you in order to be intellectually honest, you should not allow them. You know, if somebody in this little 1,200 population town wants to put up a McDonald's double arch on their property, to be intellectually honest, you should not allow the town to forbid that. So that is, you know, where do you draw the line? And I'm saying, I say at 1,200 people, I would certainly draw the line somewhere in there. That is to say, if you're in a town of 1,200 and you can't get along with those people to the point where you want to put up a McDonald's, you know, next, as somebody would say, next thing you want to do is put up a steel mill incinerator. You know,
it's not going to work. Right?
Yeah, no, and
put up a McDonald's museum.
There's an idea. With a Starbucks cafe in it.
Right.
And in the Starbucks cafe, you have another Starbucks.
Right.
You can never have too many Starbucks. Again, at what point do you draw the line on that kind of stuff? And here locally, Gainesville thinks it's a 1,200-person town. They have no problem in telling people what to do with their property across the board, even though we're 100,000 in the city and 200,000 in the county. Right. So I can see where people are coming from on this stuff, and I'm not this is open for discussion, I think, in the future.
This is happening all over the country too.
Yeah, it is. And again,
if it's happening in your town, email us. Let us know. We'll talk about it. We'll look into it. And
yeah. Well, again, this has to do, and I don't. Again, that was the Kelo decision in New London, Connecticut, that allowed the people there to take away the property, the state, you know, the county, right, the city, to take away somebody's property to use it for somebody else private.
Right.
You did see, of course, that the protesters showed up there for that on the side of the property owners. There was
Cindy Sheehan?
No, actually, no, she didn't. But it was a porn star, I think, that showed up.
Ooh,
yeah, she showed up and rented a property in one of the that was supposed to be condemned. You read about this?
No,
right?
No, I didn't.
You didn't?
No. Do tell,
right. What happened was there's some buildings there, whatever, and she rented a room or something like that, and then when they came to kick her out, she stripped
down naked?
Well, I don't know if it was naked, but she didn't have any clothes on. what she did is she went down to protest at the city commission meeting, and they kicked her out, and she wouldn't leave. She said, no, I'm entitled to go in there, and they said, no, it's all full. You can't go in there. And she looked in and said, well, no, there's 50 seats still in there. I go in. They said, no, we deem it to be full.
We deem it to be full,
no matter what you see.
Your government at work.
And so she said, I'm not leaving till I get in there and have my say on this. And they hauled her off to jail. And as we speak, she's in jail.
Really?
Yeah. She's in for felony.
Disturbing the peace.
And she was the peace.
Right.
And
felony, not listening to
that's,
somebody.
And yeah, that's right. And resisting arrest, and she refused to give her fingerprints, you know, when they asked her for them. And so that's a felony, I guess, or something, a shooting offense. And so anyway, she's in jail.
And how long ago was this?
This is about 2 weeks.
Really?
Yeah, she's been in jail for about 2 weeks.
Why don't we get Counsel Curtis over there to help her out?
If she's a stripper, that's
what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that on the next show
when the attorney gets here, yeah. No, but my point is that the people are still, even though the Supreme Court of the United States of America has said those people are not entitled to their own land, they're still in there fighting it tooth and nail. It's interesting to see how that works. So anyway, that is the eminent domain, and eminent domain has always been, I don't know, as I say, I'm sure that five of the justices on the Supreme Court had a brain fart or something to rule that way. It's just mind-boggling.
It is mind-boggling.
No, it's just unbelievable. That and of course the other one was the marijuana ruling, which is another, you know, federal
Wickert.
Well, they referred to Wickard, and of course that's scary too. Anyway, we've talked about that some in some previous shows, and we'll talk about it.
Well, we're going to do the full blown grilling of those.
Well, yeah, you of course tomorrow is Monday, first Monday, mm-hmm, when Roberts takes control of the Supreme Court, or at least bangs the gavel, whatever.
We'll have to see how these first couple days go.
And yeah, well, the word is that Bush will come up with his new nominee this week. To replace Sandra Day.
All right.
So that will the fight. Let the games begin.
Right. Yeah. All of this on this week. So. All right, well, let's call the show and yeah. we'll have lots coming up.
Oh, wait, no, I got a couple, just a couple little things.
Okay. We're not calling it a show yet.
No.
Rewind.
Edit.
Well, I got two things. You saw the latest millionaire blasted off as the latest space
$20 million
tourist. $20 million, another $20 million popper.
Oh, this is someone going into space.
Visit the space station.
Right.
I mean,
whatever happened to the Backstreet Boy or whatever? They didn't let him go.
He backed
out. All right, so who was this?
This is some guy that, what was he? He was a dot-com guy, wasn't he?
He invented an infrared camera. Millionaire scientist Gregory Olson. He's going on a U.S.-Russian crew to the International Space Station, and he's going to be up there for quite a while. I mean, 11 days or something like that, I guess.
Is that quite a while?
Well, it is compared to Mike Melville and Brian Binney's flight.
Okay.
Or Alan Shepard.
Yep, or Alan Shepard. Yeah.
But anyway, so that was kind of cool. I thought that was neat.
$20 million
bucks.
By the way, for our space flight program, do we have a PayPal account for our space flight go up to space program yet?
We need to
get $20 million at a nickel each for all our listeners.
We don't even need anywhere near that. Planet Xena has a moon. I forgot about Planet Xena. That's the one that's out past Pluto.
What? No, I knew about that, but they're still not sure it's a planet, are they?
No. And of course, it raised the whole question of whether they were going to call Pluto an actual planet.
Right. No, that's been argued for several years now. Yeah.
But it's the newly discovered moon is 155 miles wide and 60 times fainter than Xena, and which is currently 9 billion miles away from the sun, or three times Pluto's current distance from the sun. So, man, it's out there. I don't know how it's spotted by a 10-meter telescope at the Keck. Oh, the Keck saw it, I guess. Okay, in Hawaii. But that's kind of interesting. Boy, I'll tell you,
they're doing some stuff in that. One of these days we'll get into that. The stuff that they've found out with this astronomy is just mind-boggling. When I was growing up, I'm telling you, we were still Earth's center of the universe, practically.
Earth is flat?
Yeah, the Earth is flat. You sail off, you fall. I mean, I'm telling you, it's come away since you sail off the edge of the Earth, I'll tell you.
That's all I had.
Okay, that's good. Well, listen, folks, thank you. Listen, tell your friends. It turns out, as we've said, word of mouth is what gets this show more than any search engine. And once again, hello to our friends in Sweden.
JimmyDone.com.
Yeah, well, we do that.
Gesundheit.
Tell way to go, right? You speak Italian, pizza pie.
Right.
Brando Sticco.
That's right.
Brando Sticco.
Oh, I remember that.
We can't tell you that story.
No, we will. That is a good story. I like that.
All right.
Maybe next time.
So we'll see. Yeah, this is 2nd of October show, and we should be here, in a couple days?
Circus,
probably the middle of the week, we'll do another one. So listen for us. Send us an email at jimmy@jimmydone.com. We'll respond.
And I have some more links up there on our website in case you just want to click on one of those and give us a, five-star rating or one-star rating.
Oh, we need the five-star rating, yeah.
Yeah.
We're rating all our competitor shows as minus stars, right? That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll talk to you later. Thanks a lot. Jimmy Doan saying goodbye. It's up to you now.